Here we go. It's November 18th, and we're on session 49 of our study on the kingdom of God. And tonight we're going to learn about dogs and pigs, because we've been looking at Jesus Christ's teaching of his disciples, the Sermon on the Mount, or the teaching on the hill, as I like to call it. And we're in chapter 7 of Matthew, and we spent a little time looking at what he said about judging one another, that we're better off not judging each other at this time, but just loving each other. But there will be a time where we will have the responsibility to do some judgment. But until then, it says it's better to judge nothing before the time, except we judge not to put a stumbling block in front of each other that would trip each other up. So we want to treat each other well, hold each other in high esteem, and see each other the way God does. Now, the next thing that he taught his disciples here is in verse 6, where he says, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn again and rend you." So this is obviously a figure of speech, because he's not talking about actual dogs and actual pigs with pearls and stuff. So we want to see what it is that he's talking about. Now, he's been teaching them things about the kingdom of God, and the ones that he is addressing are the disciples, the ones that heard the preaching that the kingdom of God is at hand, and they came to him and they wanted to learn from him more about this kingdom of God. And he's teaching them what it takes to enter into the kingdom of God, and he's preparing them to do that. And he let them know that in the kingdom of God, the will of God is done upon earth as it is in heaven. And he's teaching them to obey the will of God from the heart. And he can do that with these people because they want to know. They're there because they want to learn. Now, the things that he's teaching, he's not teaching to people that are belligerent or pig-headed, you might say, or people that would turn and attack him. He might still speak with them, but he's not going to give them this very, very valuable information. Now, I want to just look at a few things that the Word of God does say about dogs and about pigs on a literal level, and that might help us to understand what he's talking about when he uses that as a figure of speech. So let's go to Exodus chapter 22. In Exodus 22, at the end of the chapter, we're going to look at verse 31. In this chapter, he has a lot of statutes and ordinances and things that he tells people to do and not to do. And in verse 31, he says, "And ye," talking about the people of Israel that he had brought out of Egypt, says, "And ye shall be holy men unto me." That means in his mind and in his judgment, these people are separated out from the rest of the world, and they're holy to God. And to be holy, they need to be clean. It says, "And ye shall be holy men unto me, neither shall ye eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. Ye shall cast it to the dogs." Okay? So being holy people, but not having Holy Spirit is a challenge. There were a handful of people at the time that had Holy Spirit. You know, Moses and Aaron and Miriam and Joshua. Might have been a few others, and then there were 70 that had the Spirit upon them, that God took it from Moses and put it on them. But for the most part, the 2-3 or so million people that were there, most of them did not have Spirit, and yet God considered them holy. So he gave them things to do and not to do to stay in the holy status, okay, even though they're a body and soul people. And part of that had to do with what they would eat and what they would touch, okay? As far as eating, if you would go to Leviticus 11 at your leisure, I'm not going to go there, but it spells out what are considered the clean and unclean animals that they could eat or not eat, okay? So as far as land animals, they had to have a parted hoof and chew the cud. And he specifically mentioned pigs or swine as unclean animals, because even though they have a parted hoof, they don't chew the cud. And he talked about camels and conies and hares and things that chew the cud, but they don't have a parted hoof, so they're not clean either. Now, dogs weren't mentioned, but dogs They don't chew cud, and they don't have a parted hoof either. So they're not clean as far as the people being able to eat dogs, even though there are some other countries where people do eat dogs to this day. And there's a lot of other nations that eat pigs. They eat pork and bacon and stuff like that. I enjoy it myself. But Israel was not supposed to eat anything that didn't part the hoof and chew the cud. They're also not to eat anything, even if it was a clean animal, if it was torn of wild beasts. So if a lion or hyena or a bear or something had attacked a sheep or a lamb or a cow or something and had torn it with their claws, then it would be considered unclean. And God said, "You're holy to me. You're holy men to me. So you shall not eat any flesh that is torn of beasts in the field. What should you do with it? Cast it to the dogs." The dogs at the time were not household pets in Israel in the times of the Bible. Okay? Israelites, from what I was able to gather from the scriptures and just looking at other things, did not keep dogs as pets. They may have used dogs for guarding the cities, because if anything happened, the dogs would bark, would raise an alarm. And there's a verse in Job chapter 30, verse 1, that gives a reference to dogs being used to herd sheep, you know, sheep dogs. But they wouldn't have dogs that would live in the house like a lot of us do today. So dogs would live outside, and any meat that was considered unclean would be thrown to the dogs, but they wouldn't give dogs the good stuff. They wouldn't give dogs that which was holy, right? On a literal sense. Now, go to 1 Kings chapter 14. I'm not going to look at all the references to dogs, because there are quite a few. In fact, in Sid's study night, he was looking at David and someone who said that he was a dead dog. In fact, David said that once when Saul was chasing after him. And he said, "Why are you chasing after me? I'm like a dead dog, like a flea. It's not worth your while to chase after me." Calling someone a dead dog was a very low insult. And to call yourself a dead dog would be to humble yourself to quite a degree. It does say in Ecclesiastes that a live dog is better than a dead lion. But when it talks about a dead dog, that's pretty low. Now, in 1 Kings 14, verse 11, this is talking about Jeroboam, the one who had caused Israel to sin by making golden calves and telling people to worship these golden calves and to offer sacrifices to them. The prophet Ahijah, that had ordained him to be king, is telling Jeroboam's wife here some bad news regarding Jeroboam. And he mentions dogs in verse 11. But let's start off a little further up. Verse 7, he said, "Go tell Jeroboam, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, for as much as I exalted thee from among the people and made thee prince over my people Israel and rent the kingdom away from the house of David and gave it thee, and yet thou hast not been as my servant David, who kept my commandments, and who followed me with all his heart, to do that only which was right in mine eyes, but hast done evil." It means, Jeroboam, you have done evil above all that were before thee. "For thou hast gone and made thee other gods and molten images to provoke me to anger, and hast cast me behind thy back. Therefore, behold, I will bring evil upon the house of Jeroboam, and will cut off from Jeroboam him that pisseth against the wall." Means all his male children will be cut off. "And him that is shut up and left in Israel, and will take away the remnant of the house of Jeroboam as a man taketh away dung, till it be all gone. Him that dieth of Jeroboam in the city shall the dogs eat. And him that dieth in the field shall the fowls of the air eat, for the Lord hath spoken it." So this was a tremendous disgrace, especially for a man who had been exalted to be king, to have this be his end, that when he and his sons would die, that they wouldn't even be buried. Nobody would mourn for them. Their bodies would be left for the dogs to eat and for the vultures, you know, the birds of the air to eat. But regarding dogs, since we're looking at dogs, this gives us a clue that the dogs generally lived in the cities, but they roamed free throughout the cities, okay? And if there were a dead body, then it would be the dogs that would eat it in the city. If there was a dead body outside the city wall, then the birds would eat it there. So the things that were unclean, they were assigned to the dogs to eat. Look at Proverbs 26, please. There's a few things in Proverbs about dogs and pigs, actually. Proverbs 26, verse 17, gives a good bit of wisdom here. He that passeth by and meddleth with strife, belonging not to him, is like one that taketh a dog by the ears. So if you're walking along and you see strife going on and you meddle with it, you get involved with it, then it's like taking a dog by the ears. And again, the dogs at that time in Israel were not pets that were used to being petted. They weren't looking for someone to chuck them a milk bone and scratch them behind the ears. You grabbed a dog by the ears, he's going to attack you, is what it's saying. So don't get involved in strife that doesn't pertain to you. Let those that are involved handle it with each other. In verse 11 of the same chapter, it says, as a dog returneth to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. So this is interesting because it compares a person to a dog, okay? What kind of person is it comparing? A fool. And what's a fool? A fool is a stupid fellow, a dullard, a simpleton, an arrogant one. And it comes from the word fat, like fat-headed. And the thing about a fool is he thinks he knows everything, but he really doesn't, and therefore he won't learn anything. He tends to make fun of people that really do know things and really are wise, but he himself has shut himself off from learning because he's not meek and humble to receive the wisdom that would be presented to him. And it says he's as a dog that returns to his vomit, so a fool returneth to his folly. So if someone tries to teach a fool how to be wise, it says the fool is just going to return to his foolishness, like a dog would return to his vomit. And it's not a complimentary thing to say about a person, but it's descriptive of a person who is that way, someone who's very arrogant and will not listen, okay, and just wants to do things his own way. He's going to go back to that even if you try to teach him. You can only really teach somebody who wants to learn, you know, who lifts up their voice for knowledge and cries out for understanding and will search for it as silver, like it says in chapter 2 of Proverbs. But the one who is to be taught wisdom, the valuable things that come from God, is someone who is humble and meek, eager to learn, wants to know, and will apply what he's taught, as opposed to hearing it, dismissing it, and going back to what he did before. Now, in chapter 11 of Proverbs, there's another one. This compares a person to a pig, and it's in verse 22. It says, as a jewel of gold in a swine's snout, so is a fair woman which is without discretion. So it's saying a beautiful woman who's beautifully adorned, looks lovely, but does not have discretion. She's without wisdom, okay? She doesn't have the understanding. She can't tell the difference between what's the will of God and what's not the will of God, or might not even care, okay? Her beauty, the outward beauty, but the inward perverseness, you might say, is kind of like a beautiful jewel on the snout of a pig. That's the way it's described there, and I think that is interesting that the Word of God would say that. Now, in 2 Peter chapter 2, we have a verse that has both pigs and dogs in it, in the same verse. It's 2 Peter chapter 2, and it's the last verse, verse 22, which says, but it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again, like we read in Proverbs 26, and the sow that is washed to her wallowing in the mire. So you can take a pig and clean it up, but if you let it go and do what it wants, it's just going to go back to the mud and roll around in it and get all dirty again. And this chapter is talking about false teachers creeping into the church. Because verse 1 says, but there were false prophets also among the people, back in the Old Testament times, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily or secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, their destructive ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So these false teachers that are teaching bad things and denying the Lord Jesus Christ and teaching people to do bad things, it's going to do a lot of damage within the church, and those looking at the church will think evil of it and probably not want to be a part of it. Verse 3 says, and through covetousness shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation or condemnation slumbereth not. So they're going to try to make merchandise of the believers, try to take advantage of them financially and maybe in other ways. So that's the context of this. And a little farther down, we'll pick it up in verse 19. It says, while they promise them liberty. So these are the false teachers that are promising liberty to the believers, and there is liberty promised, but they're going to warp it so it means something different. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption, for of whom a man is overcome, of the same is he brought in bondage. For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and are again entangled therein, back into the world, and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. They might be worse off from the standpoint of their walk with God and their fellowship with God than they were before when they first started learning about it. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness than after they had known it to turn from the holy commandment delivered unto them. But it happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is returned to his own vomit again. It's like a fool back to his foolishness. And the sow that was washed to her wallowing in the mire. Now, this doesn't mean that a believer will lose their salvation. Okay, they'll still be saved. They'll still be having eternal life, still have the hope that we have. But they will be missing out on the relationship with God that God wants his children to have with him. And if they're taught in the wrong way, and they think this is what Christianity is all about, they're very likely just to go back to what they did before, which wasn't good either. And that's why those that teach the Word of God have such a great responsibility to teach the Word of God in the right way, to handle the Word of God honestly, and to teach people to actually do the will of God, which is what Jesus Christ was doing, teaching his disciples, this is how you obey the law from the heart, honestly before God. Not as a hypocrite who's pretending to try to take advantage of other people, but as a child of God who loves his Father and is loved by his Father and wants to be like him. You see, that's what he was doing. So let's go to Matthew 15. This is interesting in light of what he said, because this is where he calls somebody or compares them to a dog. And it's starting in verse 21. It says, and Jesus went thence and departed into the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. So he's bordering on the Gentile country. Tyre and Sidon, that's where, remember, Jezebel came from and all that, where Elijah the prophet spent some time with the widow woman there. Tyre and Sidon is just outside the border of Israel, and Jesus Christ is in that area on the border. And behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. So she's a woman of Canaan. She's of Canaanite origin. It was the Canaanites that originally lived in the Promised Land that were expelled from the Promised Land because of their great wickedness. But here's a woman that has respect for Jesus Christ. She calls him Lord. She calls him son of David. And she has an understanding of who he is. And she asked for help because her daughter's grievously vexed with the devil. And she had heard that he can cast these things out. But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. She just keeps on crying. She won't give up. But he answered and said, I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. He had instructions from the scriptures and from God who he was sent to. Then came she and worshipped him. She bowed down before him, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered and said, it is not meet, or it's not good, to take the children's bread, the children's food, and cast it to the dogs. You know, it's the unclean stuff it's thrown to the dogs. But he's comparing her to the dogs because she's not part of the family. And she said, truth, Lord. She didn't argue with him. She said, truth. She agreed with him. But she said, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. Now, she is from outside Israel, and there were others, the Romans and the Greeks and others, that did have dogs as pets, and the dogs lived in the house, and the dogs would eat the crumbs that would fall from the master's table. So she's saying, what you said is true, but don't think of me as one of the outside dogs that would eat the dead stuff and all. Think of me as one of the household pets that would be loyal to its master. And she called him the master, right? The Lord, the master. So she said that, and then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. You have great believing. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt, as you had asked me and you wanted. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. And I just think that is really sweet. And there's another record of the same incident in the Gospel of Mark, and it calls her a Syrophoenician woman, but it's in the Canaanite category, but it's pretty much the same words are spoken there. But she honored him as Lord, and she knew that he was the son of David. It reminds me of that widow woman that Elijah stayed with in Zidon, which was outside of Israel. But God said that he had commanded a widow woman to sustain him there. And when Elijah asked her for something to eat, she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, we're going to eat our last meal here. We don't have that much food. But she said, as the Lord thy God liveth, she knew who God was, you know, the Lord Jehovah thy God. So there were people from outside of Israel that knew who God was and had respect for him. And this woman was like that. And she got the deliverance, which is really neat. Now, Jesus Christ said that he was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. In Matthew 10, verse 5, when Jesus Christ sent out the 12 to preach, said, these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into the city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And he sent them to preach. So when he told them not to give that which is holy to the dogs, he may have been referring to this. Don't go to the Gentiles, and don't throw your pearls before swine. And the swine would be the ones that not only didn't have the understanding, but didn't want to know, the ones that didn't want to learn. Don't try to make them learn if they don't want to learn. Work with the people that are meek. So this was an example here. Now, there's something else, though, in Matthew 13 regarding who not to share the most valuable information with. When Jesus Christ was teaching the multitudes in Matthew 13, okay, verse 1, it says, the same day went Jesus out of the house and sat by the seaside, and great multitudes were gathered together unto him, so that he went into a ship and sat, and the whole multitude stood on the shore. And he taught him the parable of the sower and the seed, which a lot of us are familiar with. And he said in verse 9, after telling the parable, who hath ears to hear, let him hear. And the disciples came. So this is after all the crowds had gone away. They heard the parable without an explanation. Okay. They heard about the sower that sowed the seed, and some on the wayside, and some on the rocky ground, some among the thorns, and some on the good ground. But he didn't explain it to them. But in verse 10, the disciples came and said unto him, why speakest thou unto them in parables? We had a whole crowd of people come hear you talking, and you're just giving parables without an explanation. He answered and said unto them, because it is given unto you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but unto them it is not given. Okay? When he said to you, that's the disciples. That's the ones that after everybody else left, they came around to hear what it's really all about. They wanted the information so that they could learn from him. The others, what were they there for? Well, he was a big celebrity at the time, right? He healed a lot of people. So maybe they wanted some healings, or maybe they just wanted to see the show, see what all the excitement is about. And they got to hear him speak, and then they went home. Did they learn anything? No, they could have. How? By staying after and asking him, right? Like these guys did. So he said, unto you, it's given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. These are the pearls, okay? These are the things of great value. The understanding of the word, having it opened up to you so you can be prepared to enter in, that you can participate in this thing. But to them it is not given. So he wasn't looking for a whole lot of numbers. He wasn't looking for a big congregation. He was looking for the few people that he could really teach that would be able to understand it. And then when the time would come for the great outreach, once the salvation was available for people to have, then you have the explosive outreach. At this time, he didn't want that. It wasn't the time for it. You see, it was the time to train and prepare a smaller group to handle it after he would ascend. Verse 12 says, for whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. What's he talking about? Whosoever hath has an understanding of the mysteries, the secrets of the kingdom of heaven, or the kingdom of God. So who has an understanding, he'll get more of an understanding. Okay, why? Because he's meek. He wants to know. He wants to learn. And he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, doesn't have an understanding. Why would they not have an understanding? Because they really didn't want it. They weren't interested in really learning the word of God and living according to the will of God. They just wanted to be entertained, you see. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away even that he hath. Meaning he'll be given some words, but without the meaning of the words, they kind of evaporate into the air. Therefore, verse 13, therefore speak I to them in parables, because they seeing see not, and hearing they hear not, neither do they understand. So they got to see him, the Son of God, but they didn't really see. You know, they didn't really perceive who he was. They got to hear the words that he said, but they didn't really hear to get an understanding of it. Verse 14, and in them is fulfilled the prophecy of Isaiah, which saith, by hearing ye shall hear, and shall not understand, and seeing ye shall see, and shall not perceive. For this people's heart is waxed gross, means fat, like the foolish person. And their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. See that? So it would be available to them, but they would have to come and ask for it. They would have to come and seek it. They would have to be persistent to come to him and have him teach them. But blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed meaning happy, okay? Happy are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For verily I say unto you that many prophets and righteous men have desired to see those things which ye see and have not seen them, and to hear those things which ye hear and have not heard them. And then he explained what that parable meant, which would be another teaching in itself. But you see how he didn't give that which is holy to the dogs, you might say, or cast the pearl before swine. He gave the good stuff, the valuable stuff, the real meaty stuff to those that really wanted it, that would take it and take it to heart. There is a section in Isaiah that he was quoting from. Let's look at that. It's in Isaiah chapter 6 and verses 9 and 10. And he said, go. So this is God talking to Isaiah. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. The way it's worded here, it sounds like you're going to shut their eyes, you're going to make their ears heavy. when Jesus Christ quoted it, it was, they shut their eyes. They are not listening. But I want to show you a different translation. I'm going to click on compare. The Brenton translation is the translation of the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation from the Hebrew. So when they translated the Old Testament from Hebrew to Greek, that is called the Septuagint. And Brenton was an English guy who translated it from the Greek into English. And when you listen to this, it's going to be a little more similar to what Jesus Christ said and how it was written. It says, "For the heart of this people has become gross, and their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes have they closed, lest they should see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and be converted, and I should heal them." Okay? So this has it worded in the way that was more similar to the way it was quoted in the Gospels, where they closed their eyes. Okay? Their ears are dull of hearing. God didn't cause that to happen. You know, it's the people, they didn't really want to know. They didn't really want to listen. And there's another place in Ezekiel I'd like to go to, because I mentioned that sometimes the people are there for the show and not really to learn. And God told Ezekiel about this in his day and time. Ezekiel was a prophet, and God had him tell the people that because they were worshiping other gods, maybe not publicly, but on the sly, and God knew about it, they would come to God, they would come to the temple, they would go through the motions, but in their hearts they were worshiping these other gods, and they were not obeying the law of God. And God had Ezekiel tell the people this. And in chapter 33 here, starting in verse 30, he gives Ezekiel some insight on what's in the heart of these people. And he said, "Also, thou son of man, the children of thy people still are talking against thee by the walls and in the doors of the houses, and speak one to another, every one to his brother, saying, Come, I pray you, and hear what is the word that cometh forth from the Lord. And they come unto thee," in verse 31, "they come unto thee as the people cometh, and they sit before thee as my people, and they hear thy words, but they will not do them. For with their mouth they show much love, but their heart goeth after their covetousness. And lo, thou art unto them as a very lovely song of one that hath a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear thy words, but they do them not. And when this cometh to pass, lo, it will come," you know, as far as the things that he said would happen to them, "then they shall know that a prophet hath been among them." So God is telling Ezekiel, they think of you as like a celebrity entertainer. And they're going to come and they're going to assemble in front of you like an audience going to a concert. And they'll tell you that they love you and how wonderful they think that you are. But they're not going to actually do anything that you tell them to do. That's not why they're there. They're not there to learn and receive the reproof that I have given you to give to them. They're just there to see the show and get caught up in the excitement of it. But when they go home, they're going to just do what they want to do. So it's kind of sad, but that's the way it was. And Jesus Christ knew when he was dealing with the crowd, are these people that really want to learn, or are they here for the excitement of it? Are they here for the goodies, you know, for the bread, you know, when the loaves and the fish were multiplied? A lot of these people came back and they said, do that again, or give us a sign that you're really the Messiah. And he said, you just want some more of that bread, don't you? And some of the people were there for the healing. They didn't really want to do the will of God, but they wanted to get healed by someone who was good at healing. Okay? So Jesus Christ, when he gave out the things that were most valuable, he gave them to the ones who he knew really wanted to learn from him. And he knew their hearts. He knew who they were. You know, even among them was Judas, and he knew he was going to betray him, but he knew that it had to happen according to the scriptures so that they could be fulfilled. But anyway, let's just go back to Matthew 7. There's more of this I'd like to cover, but I'm going to have to do it next week because it will take another hour. But we were in verse 6 of Matthew 7, where it said, "Give not that which is holy unto the dogs, neither cast ye your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet, and turn again and rend you." So he's really talking about people that would respond in that way, that when you gave them the good stuff, they would just trample it under their feet. Yeah, this isn't true. And there were people that treated the prophets that way so many times in the Old Testament as well. They said, oh, tell us what God says. And he would tell them what God said. And they said, no, that wasn't God. You just made that up. And they would do whatever they wanted to. And then, like Jeremiah the prophet, they took him and they threw him in jail. So he gave him the word of God. He did his job as a prophet, but they trampled under feet the words that he gave him, and they turned and they attacked him. So Jesus Christ is giving a warning to his disciples. He said, there are people like that. And if you give them the good stuff, they'll trample it underfoot and they'll turn around and bite you from behind. You know, in Philippians, there's a verse that says, beware of dogs. And it's not talking about literal dogs. It's talking about people that would turn around and attack you from behind. You give them the good stuff, you go away, and then they run after you and bite you on the back of the leg, so to speak, like a dog would. But the next thing we're going to look at, I'll give you a little preview, is in verse 7, where it says, ask and it shall be given unto you, seek and ye shall find, knock and it shall be opened unto you, for everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. So obviously he did not consider those people that he was addressing in the pig or the dog category, because it says you ask, you know, you seek, you knock, and it's going to be open to you. But when we get together next week, I want to share a translation with you that will make this really clear, and I think it will really bless you when we look at that in great detail. But in the meantime, maybe you learned a little bit about pigs and dogs tonight. So God bless everybody, and we'll see you next week, okay?
Yes, Greg, can I ask, is it true that in the limited time that Jesus Christ's ministry that he did here on earth, when he came out of the wilderness and was baptized by John the Baptist, did he only go up to see that Syrophoenician woman, the Canaanite woman, and that was it? He walked all that way up there just to minister to her.
That wasn't his purpose, because when she wanted to have her daughter minister to, he ignored her. So it was not his purpose to go there to minister to her, but she was persistent, and she honored him by calling him Lord, and she was able to receive that. He went there for some other reason, and it even says, when you look at the Gospel of Mark 7, in verse 24 it says, and from thence where he was, he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon, and entered into an house, and would have no man know it, but he could not be hid. So he was like taking a little break, going somewhere where he didn't think anybody would find him, because it was just outside the borders of Israel. But he could not be hid, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. So she found him, even though he was going there not to be found.
Oh, okay.
So it was just the persistence on her part that paid off.
Like persistence in prayer.
Yeah. Again, that's something that we'll see next week when we look at the asking and the seeking and the knocking. Okay.
Hey, Greg, I got a comment.
Oh, yeah.
We got a friend, Amanda's fiance is from Egypt, grew up in Egypt. So Amanda took a trip over to Cairo, and, you know, he knew about the dogs in the city, and Amanda saw all the dogs, and she wanted to go up and pet them because she's used to the house dog, you know, pets. He said, no, you don't pet these dogs. They were in the city still, but they were wild. They're wild dogs, and they eat whatever they can muster up, whatever they can get from people or scraps. But if you're talking about the city, and he doesn't particularly like dogs because he grew up kind of in that culture where dogs are outside dogs, they're not inside dogs.
Yeah.
So,
cool.
I was kind of chuckling when you were going over that explanation.
Well, good. Well, thanks for bringing that up. It's good to hear that that's still the tradition in that part of the world there.
And he particularly does not. He tolerates dogs, but it definitely inside dogs are not his first love.
Well, I had heard that about Bishop Pillai. Like, he was in a house and they had a dog, and the dog came up to him and he was beating it with a stick. You know?
Yeah.
Because
this guy's name is George, and he pushes him away trying to be polite, but it's like, kind of get away from me.
But But yeah, that fits with those verses that we saw. You know, you don't grab a dog by the ears or, and they're in the city, whoever dieth of Jeroboam in the city, the dogs are going to eat.
Yeah.
And if you have an animal that's torn by a wild beast, you chuck it to the dogs and let the dogs eat it.
Yeah, they're the cleanup crew.
Yeah.
The cleanup crew.
They're the cleanup crew inside the city and the vultures would be outside and they would take care of it there. So that's pretty cool.
Yeah, that's cool.
Really cool, man.
Yeah.
That was good. Well, thanks a lot.